Hey, welcome back to Not My Type. This is Jack. We're continuing our previous episode on the instincts and the instinctual cycle, broadly. I'm here with Jessica and Malia. Why don't you guys say hi?
Hi, I'm Jessica.
So for context, if you don't know us at all, we have type structures, which is part of what we talk about. We're viewing the Enneagram through a scientific lens. So just so you know, we measure type through behavior. And so through our own types, as far as we've measured behaviorally, I'm a sexual social 2-3 with 7 and 8 fixes.
And this is Jessica. I am a self-pressed sexual 6-7 with 9 and 4 fixes.
I'm Malia. I am a social self-pres 7-6, unfortunately, no, with 2 and 8 fixes.
So today we are continuing, like I said, our topic about the instinctual cycle. If you don't know anything about that, you can go check out our website where we talk about the instincts broadly. But I also wrote a whole article about the instinctual cycle that's sort of our baseline for this topic. But we're sort of talking about how David Gray's concepts of sin flow and contra flow, we are arguing, instead represent the idea of a life cycle and then a death cycle, and the way that they're all sort of interconnected and sort of recycle into each other over and over and over.
Instead of being two separate things.
Going opposite directions, they are rather one cycle moving one direction, which is a circle, basically, or an oval, you could talk about it. So we have a visual diagram, if you want to go see it, in the article called The Instinctual Cycle on our website, which is notmytypeenneagram.com, by the way. Sorry, I keep forgetting to include that. But anyways, we are talking about this instinctual cycle, and we finish with sexual self-pres, which is that sort of birthplace, that seed opening. It's the tree beginning its life process, but it's still underground. And today we are moving into self-pres social, which is the next instinct in what we call the waxing stackings.
We call these waxing stackings because they are moving outward from their dominant instinct. So these stackings are sexual self-pres, self-pres social, and social sexual. And so there is a enlarging, just like the moon enlarges during its waxing phases. So during
its
waxing
brighter,
phase,
Those three stackings represent sort of like the life cycle, the growth and maturation of a tree or a human. You could basically take any living object or non-living sometimes and examine the way that as it grows and matures and reaches its sort of its sexual peak, where it becomes like young adult stage, then it finally starts what David called the contraflow stackings, which we instead call the waning stackings, as the moon sort of starts to darken and the tree starts to develop fruit because it's preparing to die. It's preparing to send its seed out and make new trees, basically. So there are tons of metaphors you could give for these. We're going to use probably human and tree metaphors and maybe a couple others if we think of them. But anyways, back to sexual self-pres flowing into self-pres social. So self-pres moving into social is the next step after that sort of seed is breaking and opening underground, which is sexual self-pres. So once it exits the earth and enters the social air, as David paralleled it, if you don't know about David Gray's concepts about the instincts as elemental parallels, quick summary, he compared self-preservation to earth, social to air, and sexual to the meeting place of fire and water. We talked about that in our last episode and other episodes in past, so you can go back and revisit those if you want. But anyways, back to self-pres social. This is past the point of a tree being born, and now it has a physical body. It's like a trunk that breaks into the social air and has roots and has branches, and it has a form, but it extends into a world where there are other trees. You know, there are other things beyond its own self, as contrasted with sexual self-pres, if that makes sense.
Yeah, self-pres social is like the best stacking for the network idea, where you have like your singular points, and then they're connecting with each other. So the singular being the physical, and then the social is them. They're connecting each other. And like David Gray had suggested, where the second instinct supports the first, this socialization, you see this especially in humans, will further support the self-preservation and the stability of the individual.
Do you have a metaphor you could give for that? Like things we talked about for self-presocial before?
Yeah, like a great metaphor for self-presocial is like a marketplace where like old-fashioned people are trading wares, and you come, your self-pres self, with your own self-pres goods like potatoes, and then you come and you network and you trade for celery, and now you have celery and potatoes, and they will make you live longer, ideally, because of your social connections.
Right. Malia and I were in Turkey one time, and basically in Istanbul there's this gigantic market where we spent a lot of time. It was really fun to explore, but you can see throughout it all these different people are mimicking each other's shops. There's this awareness of like the social category of like what's going to sell here, and so they're watching the categorization that the social world is doing as a means of supporting their own like self-preservation, physical survival. And there were sort of several basic categories you could split these shops up into. in the bazaar or the marketplace, if that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, and this is by far the most common stacking, which makes sense because it's the most life-sustaining stacking. There's not sexual to interrupt things. It is still about the longevity of self, but you are strengthening self through a tribe.
So this would be, like, in David's theory, someone who is focused on self-prez, as in, like, they're focused on the goods that they have or the goods that they're selling, but they're using social as a means to fulfill their self-prez needs. Like, I have these goods or I need these goods, so I'm going to utilize my community or the people around me to fulfill my self-prez needs.
Right. It's kind of like self-preservation wants safety. It's like we talked about in the last episode, it's the animal's need for a cave, like a dwelling place and a grounding element. So it's like, if you're a human and you, imagine you're in a wasteland and you're like, oh, time for me to build a house. Like, you can do that better if you have friends, you know? Mm. If you invite your social world over, they can more effectively and quickly help you build a house and build a grounded, sustainable way of living.
Yes, but you're not focused on what your goods are. That's from a social perspective. You're focused on the fact of what's going to lengthen my life. Mm. What's going to help me not die? Oh, if so-and-so provides me this, then it is very self-focused.
Mm. Right. And then from there, the tree metaphor expands into the canopy where there's leaves. And this is the point of social moving into sexual, which is at the top of the peak. And again, like I said, there's a visual online, so I encourage you to check it out. But basically, social sexual is archetypally focused first on relationship, but is supporting relationship and connection and the categorization function of the social instinct with self-expression of the sexual instinct. Mm. You know, what makes me distinctly me? What makes me unique and distinct from other people and flavorful, in a sense. And that sexual instinct goes to support a social category. So this is sort of, like, if we look at sexual self-prez as like a baby in the womb that then is just with mother, and then we look at self-prez social as a child that sort of gains an awareness of their own body, but then also becomes aware of other beings, you know, other social beings that have will and intention. Social sexual is like the point of like preteen or teenage years where you're in middle school and you become aware, overly aware of what category do I fall in? Am I in the in-group or the out-group? And as you're doing that, you're becoming increasingly aware of your own sexual appetite. You know, the things that light you up or turn you on, like the people you're attracted to, the crushes you have. You know, the sexual instinct is a secondary part of a social broad world. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and what's even interesting, too, is that even in the expanding, waxing, stackings themselves, there is a further expansion as you go through the three stackings. So a sexual self-prez, it expands from, like, this spark into another. And then self-prez social, it expands from, you know, your resources and your survival.
Like a trunk.
Yes, into a tribe. Mm. And then social sexual is the ultimate expansion of all, which is the loss of self into sexual.
Right, and that's the leaves, you know, that sort of like multifaceted, multiplicitous. The canopy, like, think about how many more leaves there are in a canopy than there are branches on a tree. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and think of how big the tree is versus how small the seed is. It's like this continuing, like, opening and opening and opening, and then you get to the canopy, and it's just, like, it's to the sky. It's huge.
Right.
Right. And something that's really interesting, too, is that the instinct stackings with sexual in them have this sort of changing, transformative element because the sexual instinct is in there. So sexual self-prez is like the seed germinating and opening. You know what I'm saying? There's an active unfolding happening there. Whereas self-prez social is, like, sort of a more static stacking. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like the body of the tree that's grounded and rooted, but it's not changing in that moment. It's just the trunk and the branches. But then you get social sexual, which is the leaves, all that sort of colorful leaf action, which also change color and fall. Mm. You know, they change and move and shift.
I know that this is like an abstract concept, but you've also kind of mentioned here and there through this and the last episode that you've noticed these things come out in people when you're interviewing them, when you're doing like your research. So what are some things that people have said that, or what are some practical ways you see these kind of instinct stackings play out in like people's verbiage or in people's lives? Like, how can you tell if someone is the sexual self-prez or self-prez social sexual in like, you know, things that they say?
Yeah, you're looking for that change because the self-prez social without sexual is very static. You're looking for, with people with sexual, you're looking for the drive and the need to, like, and almost the addiction to, like, go through some sort of transformation. Mm. There's so much transformation happening with the seed, you know? It looks like one thing and then it becomes something else.
Right.
With self-prez social, kind of looks the same throughout its whole life. And then social sexual, these leaves turn colors. You know, like, that's insane. Who knew that leaves would turn colors? Right. You know?
Well, and this is what's interesting about the instinct stackings with sexual, is that there's something changing and maybe, like, sparkly happening there, but it loses something very sustainable. So, like, sexual self-prez, it's opening, it's germinating, but there's no one else. There's no social world.
Right.
So people who are social blind that have sexual self-prez, there's a transformative element happening that might allow them to sort of seek a higher form of self, although that's very abstract. But there's sort of a loss of an awareness of, like, connection and a tribe and a herd and relationship broadly. And then social sexual, which has that sort of sparkly, colorful, like, leaves changing element, they don't last. Those leaves fall because there's no self-preservation, sustaining function.
Yeah, the loss of self.
Malia, I may have misunderstood you, but it sounded to me earlier, instead of, like, I think maybe we misinterpreted your question initially. Like, I don't think you were asking about sexual. I think you were asking about, like, the waxing stackings. Is that true?
Yes, yeah.
So how do you catch the waxing stackings as opposed to the waning stackings? Like, what's different between them, I think, is what Malia was asking.
In your research, in all of the people you've interviewed, you've clearly seen some sort of pattern of people in the waxing stackings versus the waning stackings. So how have you noticed that?
I mean, that's a little bit of what we covered in the last episode with, like, the are you in your own experience? Are you not in your own experience? Mm. Because the waxing stackings are expanding, they need to start from a centralized location, which is self, and then they move outward.
That's really helpful to understand. It's like the expansion is coming from a localized experience versus the waning is coming from a larger experience going downward.
And then narrowing, right.
There was a waning person who said this in the video, that they move from global to local and not local to global. And I was like, yes.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
that's a great example.
Yeah.
But that's sort of, anyways, now that we're here, let's turn into the waning stacking. So at the top of the cycle, where the tree sort of reaches its peak, where there's a canopy and this, like, colorful extrapolation of social sexual, then the cycle turns, because the sexual instinct represents sort of the turning point between these two sides of the system.
It's change,
that make sense?
Yeah.
It represents change, turning point, a turning around.
Right.
And so at the top, where social moves upward into sexual, it then turns around and moves downward. And then you get sexual moving into social. The other self-preservation blind stacking, which is equally high up off the ground, it's at the top of the tree. But sexual social is not primarily about social. It's primarily about sexual. So as contrasted to social sexual's canopy of leaves, where the emphasis is on a broad system where they're interconnected and related to each other, you get a singular blossom, which is opening. And so sexual social has this sort of flowery effect because it is primarily about sustaining the tree's life through pollination, you know, but the blossom doesn't last long. It's this sort of archetypal lovely thing that its petals quickly fade once it's been pollinated.
It's an intense fire rather than, like, an ember that lasts a long time.
Right. And so people who are sexual social have this sort of floral, like, opening, bright, colorful effect where there's something very flowery. And this stacking has a particularly sort of feminine quality to it because it feels lovely, but it's transient. It doesn't last long because it's blind to self-preservation. So there's no instinct that sort of keeps it going. It is self-display, a sort of pheromonal, attractive, like, here's what makes me me, but it's in the social world. So it's watching other people. So here you get the contrast between sexual self-prez, which is very specific and localized and trapped in its sort of little tunnel. That sort of sexual energy is bordered and walled off with self-prez. Contrasted to that energy, sexual social is doing that sort of tunnel vision effect, but it's seeing other people. It has the social world, so then it gets distracted. And its energy gets sort of shifted. And so here you can see what David was pointing to in his idea about the contraflow stackings, which is that the secondary instinct, quote unquote, like, defeats the dominant. We prefer to think of it as sort of narrowing or shutting down the agenda of the dominant instinct. Mm-hmm. Maybe not defeating, because that sort of has a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. We more want to suggest that it just naturally closes the effect.
It constricts.
Right,
one
it constricts.
Expands, one constricts.
Mm. Right, and so for sexual social, the social instinct's availability and connectedness to other people constricts the singular, like, romanticized focus of the sexual instinct. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, actually, it is starting to make more sense. And by the way, for all our listeners, I'm literally looking at the illustration that Jack keeps calling attention to everyone that's on the website. Because it is helpful to look at, like, literally the sexual instinct is kind of this haphazard, like, blossoming and, like, attracting people. And so it's almost like, I almost want to say, like, a little more careless, like, You know, because it's just kind of like think about someone who you know who's like very flirtatious and very like out there. Like they're not so narrowed about who they're giving attention to.
Right.
In a way that someone who's social is actually thinking about how their attention is given to certain people. It's not this like overwhelming, like I'm just being me and whoever wants it can have it, you know, kind of my attention kind of thing.
Right.
But a social person is going to narrow down their focus into more, I'm giving attention to you, you, and you because you're in my in crowd versus I'm being me and, you know, whoever's around. And then you narrow it even more to self-prez by saying, I'm focused on me and what I need, and I'm focused on, like, my physical agenda or whatever. It's not necessarily defeating it, but it's definitely
closing it. It's closing
narrowing
it down.
The focus.
Right, which is a great illustration of social self-prez, which is the next stacking. But mm-hmm. I want to come back to that in a second, because I first want to mention, like, something you just said about sexual social is this sort of flippant, provocative, flirtatious energy it has, which is it's a great illustration of, like, contrast it with the other sexual stacking. Sexual self-prez is like a baby. You know what I'm saying? It only exists, it's the umbilical cord. It is the child with mother. There's just me and this thing that I'm attached to that is feeding me.
Right.
So sexual self-prez has this sort of parasitic quality to it. Contrasting with that, sexual social is kind of over-available. You know, we're now in the closing stage of life. So we've passed the sexual peak. You know, sexual self-prez is the baby. Self-prez social is like the young child figuring out their body and then figuring out other people. Social sexual is the teenager or the preteen, like figuring out their social category and then also the fact that they have romance. You know, there's a sexual element in there. And then sexual social is like the first turning point. It's like young adulthood. You've just passed your sexual prime and now there's an awareness of, I'm going to lose my beauty quickly. So that's why
it's a blossom. And I need to get a job and I need to do all these things. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Not a job. A person.
The job is the next step. The job is that sort of self-prez grounded thing. But first there's like, I need to make myself available to see if I can attract a mate before my petals fall.
It's a little bit like a prostitute, unfortunately.
What?
Sexual social is over-available. And that's why like we see this in the self-prez blind stackings. They talk a ton. And they're over-available to connection. There's no energetic wall.
How are you supposed to do sexual well if you're over-available? Sexual works better with the one person. Right. And instead it's like, oh, it's a bee. Oh, it's a butterfly. Oh, it's a weird lady with a paintbrush who's trying to germinate her flowers.
Right. So there's all the... I don't even know what you mean by that. But there's all these, like, pollinating visitors. You know what I'm saying? And that's because sexual social has it's available to other types of people beyond just its, like, one lover. Which is why sexual self-prez, by contrast, as the initial first, like, very focal point instinct stacking, is much more of a lover, whereas sexual social is kind of more like, it's like a temptress, you know what I'm saying? It fills this sort of primarily provocative, but unsustaining.
It's like an amusement park.
Right. There's lots of sexual, like, lighting up, like, ooh, that's exciting and colorful and bright, but it fades quickly.
So it's quickly changing from one target to another, and it's just, like, something that won't last.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of floral imagery of like those, the visitors, that kind of stuff. And then we move into social self-prez, where the blossoms petals fall away and suddenly you get like what starts to form, which is a mature fruit, you know, something that is symbolic of the tree. Like, let's think about, like, when you think of an apple tree, what are you thinking of? You're thinking of an apple. You know what I'm saying? There's an awareness of what is the symbol of an apple tree? It's its fruit.
Right.
And social self-prez, you're stacking, Malia, becomes sort of symbolic of its tribe. It wants to distill the self-preservation principles, lasting standards of a social category or world. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so like in and of itself, it's the thing that is most focused on the stability and the stability how? Through the next generation. It's like, how do I form the seeds within me, the lasting principles, but not only like, it's like, how do I make this last? A lot of social self-prez, as we see in videos in terms of their favorite plants, have been something that, like a redwood, something that is long and like lives for a long time and is sustaining. It's really interesting.
And it's also kind of why, like, you think about the nature of social self-prez as a fruit. It's mature, it's ripe, you know? And so the social self-prez fruit is holding the self-preservation seeds, like the hidden standards within a sort of mature representative flesh.
Right. And we've talked before about even my stacking of like, what it looks like that, or I guess how that plays out in my life is that I almost feel like I need to feed the tribe. You know, so it's like building this kind of fruit mentality. It's like, I feel inclined to like produce fruit for the tribe.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
I love that because
then they sustain.
Because then the tribe sustains because there's fruit.
Right, right. And Social Self Prez does have this very, what are the sustainable, like concentrated principles of this machine, of this tree.
Right.
And so in the same sense, like, let's look at like Sexual Social as the young adult leaving their sexual prime. And then you move into Social Self-Prez, which is the middle-aged adult, you know, who's having an awareness of, I want to have a contribution to the world at large. I want to settle into my lasting self-prez static category. You know, what's my role? What am I contributing to my society, to my church, to my friends, to my neighborhood, you know, whatever it might be. There's an emphasis and awareness on what my social role and making it last long-term self-prez. And then we move down to self-prez sexual, which is the last stacking. And this is representative of like the death process. It's the ending of the waning process. It's like the last moment before new moon. It's the last glimpse of light.
Mm.
And so at this point we're past a mature fruit. It's now overripe and it's fallen to the ground and it's rotting into the soil because beneath the self-prez physical body, there's a rot inside, which is the sexual instinct sort of churning and ripping. Do you like that imagery? Does that work for you, Jessica?
Yeah, and a lot of the self-prez sexuals we see in videos have like that kind of where you talk about an old soul quality, and also kind of like the half-lidded, like dead eyes, where like because literally the body is getting ready to die, or like the instinct stacking is getting ready to die, and so there's just this. For me, there's a constant thinking of like death and like just like the urge to fall back into something, like to rest into something,
like which is the fruit the going final
breath
soil.
It's the deep breath before the plunge.
Is there
and
a
that's
part,
what I want.
Is there a part of that like the urgency almost at towards the end of life, like there's kind of an urgency that comes with like this feeling of like there's not much more time.
Yes.
Is so that this, so you feel that?
Yes. So how self-prez sexual combats that is by being overly like greedy with resources, because you know that like so like self-prez sexual is the most oriented towards survival. It's just like I will cut out all else and I will be very, very focused about how I spend my energy, what this is going to cost my energy, how much is this, like...
I don't have time to build something long-standing.
There's no social other. Right, there's no building.
Yes. And so, like, literally, I will naturally, like, work in the dark because it's not using, like, light energy. It's not using, like, it's just, like, things that come naturally to me, and it's this, it's a scarcity. It's a scarcity of, like, I don't know... Even just, like, not even having words for this, but, like, this, like, I need to conserve and I need to save because, like...
Well, because the sexual instinct, which is just underneath self-preservation for the stacking, is rotting away at the materials. Let's go back and contrast with self-pres social. You know, self-pres social is the branch, like, the branch is coming off of the trunk of the tree. You know, it's that expansion into the world of other.
Mm.
There's growth. There's maturation happening. You know, what do you do with your resources? You build upon them by making connections and networking.
Yeah.
Right, you share them.
No, but my resources are all from me.
Right. And self-pres sexual, there's no one left. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're like an old person. You're an old... So not to be rude, but my grandmother died 3 days ago. And I was watching her dying. Love you, Blue Grandma. But she was by herself. She was 93. All of her friends are dead. You know what I'm saying? And she's just barely surviving, trying to get comfortable, doing anything she can to find a self-preservation, like, comfortable position. But beneath, just beneath that, there's this internal sexual instinct rot. You know,
and so like the people when they get really old, they literally curl up into back into the fetal position because the body's like it coiled outward in the beginning to like life, and now it's like coiling back inward,
it's turning back.
That
like
is crazy.
Self-pres sexual is like the in terms of the constriction and the expansion process. Social sexual is the most expansive.
It's full
of the
waxing,
right?
It's
full but then self-pres sexual is the most coiling,
right?
Of the waning,
right?
Right. So this is like, this is really the darkest moment before hibernation and the cycle restarts, you know? So think about, the fruit doesn't just rot into the soil for no reason, you know? It plants the seeds for the next tree, you know? And the fruit's like flesh fertilizes and provides some nutrients for it.
So do you feel like there's a sense of, as like self-prez sexual, do you feel like there's a like, I don't know how to word this exactly, but like in your final moments, you're focused on, yes, using all of your resources for you, but also almost like seeding the next, like person to carry you forward when you're gone. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if there's a focus for like sexual instinct, who is your focus on, like, one singular person that you're like, I'm focusing on you taking on my life with you. Like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to change someone else so that they carry that on.
I have heard this from, especially me, but other self-presexuals where, like, they are very, they love the idea of living, of, like, leaving notes and journals. And I do this too everywhere. But it's specifically with the with the zoomed out mindset that someone else is going to find these. Someone else is going to know my life story. But there's not a specific other. It's just, like, the whole world will know because you're social last and you don't understand that the world doesn't work that way. But I'm leaving everything so someone's going to find and like, oh, you were so wonderful.
Right. And and that's the sexual instinct's like pheromonal trail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like as it fades out and as the resources like slowly die off, it's like the last embers of the fire. Mm. You know, there's a little bit of smoke sort of trailing away, leaving its last scent in the air. So that's sort of the end of the weaning process. Anyways, you can read a whole article that sort of summarizes and adds some more concise language to what we just discussed.
And the reason I love that it's a circle is this isn't actually the end. This doesn't end in, like, death. It's like self-presexual inherently knows that, like, yes, you need death to experience life. So this isn't like a... None of these stackings are better than the other, but kind of like, it's the entropic process. You know, like things like you spill water out and then it like gets bigger and then it dissolves into like, it has to go away eventually and evaporate to like become a part of the process again.
So when we talk about instincts, I think that when we talk about self-preservation instincts, it's easy to feel like it's the only instinct that feels like it might die without it. And I think something I'm hearing from both of you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that, like, actually every dominant instinct feels that it will die without that thing, even if it's not self-preservation. Like, when we talk about self-preservation, obviously we're literally saying...
Like physical death.
To preserve yourself. But from a larger picture, actually... Someone whose sexual instinct first feels like you're going to die without that instinct running your life. Or if you're self-pres first, or if you're social first, like I would feel like I will die without the social instinct. So can you guys talk a little bit to that?
Well, I'll just say, like, for myself as a sexual type, there's this deep yearning to be lit up no matter what it's by. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if it's just like a concept, I want to feel this like verve where like every fiber of my being is on fire. I want to feel like I'm obsessed with this new concept or like a new person or a new place or a new idea. Like there's this need for newness, which I understand too. Like I have an excess of seven in my type, so that might be distorting this. But there is a need for like a guiding star, you know, that desire to be like entranced and like reaching for something. That when that's not there, your life feels kind of bland.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not sort of like captivated and enchanted by something, it's not really there. And Jessica and I once like were talking about, we were going back and forth talking about like images for the sexual instinct. She brought it up as this like, she sent me like a little gift being like, this is people with sexual. But it was like an image of like Pocahontas, like jumping off of
the cliff into oblivion. You were like, no.
Right. Because that's, Jessica's got sexual second. So, you know what I'm saying? So she's seeing the sexual instinct.
Playground.
It's treated casually. Yeah. We treat our second instinct with this sort of like neutral indifference. Like we're not stressed about it. But as a dominant sexual type, as someone who's dominant in sexual instinct, it's this need to be, I sent her back another Disney image where Sleeping Beauty is like,
I hate Disney.
She's enchanted by the spindle. You know what I'm saying? Aurora needs to like go touch this thing and like fall asleep for a zillion years or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, it's almost as if she like doesn't have choice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because she's like so, like she's like under a spell. And the sexual instinct, when it's dominant, you basically, your psyche feels like, I need to be under a spell.
Mm.
It needs to feel like captivated by something. Mm. And not just like, oh, I'm interested, but like, this is consuming my life force and I'm about to give myself to it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She touches the spindle and falls asleep for like a zillion years or whatever. You know, and that's what it's like being a sexual type versus, like, I don't think self-pres and social types are concerned with that. You know, you're not looking for this thing to be, like killed by, basically.
Actually, that rather scares me, what you just described.
Right, which is great for sexual blindness. How does it resonate for you as a social type? Like, how do you feel, like, the need for relationship or role or connection or place or purpose?
Well, I think it really impacts me, like, on a given week. I can kind of tell, like, if I'm feeling depleted or if I'm feeling, like, full of life. It actually kind of goes back to, I look back at the week and I'm like, how many meaningful interactions did I have? And that is directly correlated with how full of life I feel at the end of the week, or how actually super tired I feel at the end of the week. And I think that it doesn't, the way that you describe this feeling of, like, I want to be lit up, I want to burn alive in the sun or something like that. Like, I don't feel like that, but I do feel this, like, slow depletion of my energy and just like almost like a depression, almost like without, you know, without people, without this social instinct.
Right, right.
And actually, it's actually interesting because what fills my brain the most when it comes to, like, being anxious about things is all about losing tribe. Is, like, that is the thing that fills my mind the most, is this fear of, like, losing tribe, whether it's my family, whether it's friends, whether it's community. Like, it is always about losing tribe. It's almost never about losing self or losing some sort of, like, excitement or whatever.
Right.
Because I don't fear that I will lose excitement about life or whatever. Like, I know that that will be there, but if I don't have my tribe, it doesn't matter.
Right. Like, none of it had a category or a place to, like, make sense or, like,
right,
mean anything to other people,
right,
or to the world or to God, mm-hmm, or to yourself or whatever.
Even self-preservation doesn't mean much without tribe.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's very social self-pres. Mm-hmm. That's great. Jess, do you have any closing thoughts about self-presexual or no?
In terms of self-preservation being where my neurosis is?
Sure, yeah.
I think a lot about food. And when I'm going to eat. But that's not where the fear comes from. The fear comes from completely being ungrounded in how I understand the world and having to rework all of my systems, which I don't... Oh, that's hard. That's very abstract, and I don't know how to work that into the self-preservation instinct, but I'm thinking of, like, where I feel like my bottom drops out is when I feel like I do not have my understanding of things. Like, other people don't fall into that. Like, it's not, it's about my own understanding.
Mm.
I think that's great. Yeah. I feel like we can close this up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks for, if you listened this far, thanks for sort of delving into the deeply abstract world of the instinctual cycle.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's so much good content on our website. If you don't know your type, or even if you think you do, you should get typed by us. We use a behavioral measurement method where we look at your data, look at your language, look at your body language, and we try and figure out, okay, what are we seeing objectively? What are the patterns we've seen in our pre-existing data set? After 1,200 interviews, we have learned pretty well how to type people through their behaviors. So that's kind of that's the main thing we're doing these days. That's the basis of our vision behind the Enneagram.
Yeah, we'll point out whether you're waxing or waning and why and where you are and your instinct stacking, all this good stuff. We'll relate all of it.
It's going to be in all of your language and in your body language.
Facial expression.
Right. Even your
breath. Yeah, your little eyebrows.
Right. So anyways.
You have a waning eyebrow.
One goes up and one goes down.
One goes up, one goes down. Right. Anyways, thanks for listening, guys. I hope you tune in next time. We will have more needlessly
juicy
complex.
Details.
Right.
Complex needlessly complex.
This is where we end on one of those, like, where do they? Like, not my type.
NBC's
the more you
jingle.
Know.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.